We'll turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. This is probably the passage that has changed my life, had me start to think about what direction I'd go. Mark chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8, starting verse 34. Going to the end of the chapter. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. And here's my life verse. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This evening I want to talk to you about a message. The title of the message, if you take notes, it's No Reserves, No Retreat, and No Regret. And if you know anything about missionary stories, I'll tell you a story at the end and you'll understand where this title comes from. Tonight I want to ask you, are you surrendered? Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? Not just say you're willing to do it, but are you willing, if God comes to you and says, you know what, I want you to change your whole life and do this for me. Are you willing to do it? In this passage, the Lord had just told Peter and the disciples about what was about to take place, about how he was about to go to the cross. And can I tell you that Peter was not happy to receive that message. If you read, you'll find this is the passage where Jesus says, Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter wasn't happy. It was a hard saying, and he didn't want to believe that it was going to happen. Today, have you lost your life? I'm not saying, are you dead? I hope not. But have you lost your life? Have you let go and say, you know what, enough is enough? God, I'm tired of just going to work every day and just doing the same old routine. Lord, there's got to be more to life. I'm ready. Lord, I want to lose my life today. It's not easy. You know, Christians are called to suffer. It's reality. Look in the Bible. There are several verses in the Bible that talk about suffering. But we can have joy in suffering. We can have joy in serving Jesus. It's not just a song. It's not just something that makes us happy. We can truly have joy in serving Jesus. But until you understand that you have to be fully surrendered, and as Brother Mitch said today, you must submit. You'll not understand that true joy. It'll be hard for you, and that suffering will not be easy, and it will be a struggle all your life. This afternoon or this evening, I want to speak to you about being surrendered, about having no reserves, nothing to hold you back. About when things get tough, that you will not retreat. And I promise you one day, if you will hold to this, you will have no regrets. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Lord, you know me. I'm just a simple man. These people have heard great preaching. Father, I pray that you'd use me this evening. I pray if there'd just be one person, whether it be a young person or older person, that would come to this in their life, that they would give all to you. They would hold back nothing. And Father, they would surrender to whatever you'd have them to do. Father, it'd be worth it all. So Lord, I pray that you'd speak and that you'd work in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, turn over to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, I want to look at just a couple of people, and then I'll try to be brief. Acts chapter 6, a couple of people that understood this idea of no reserves and no retreat and no regrets. The first I want to look at, obviously, is Stephen. If you will, look at verse number 5. Acts chapter 6, verse number 5. It says this, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenes, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Here we're told of a man named Stephen. He was chosen to be a deacon, not a preacher. A deacon, just a member of a church. And we see something about him. He was full of faith. What is faith? We know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So simply, faith is just believing in something that maybe you don't know the end result, but you know that if you trust God, it's going to be worth it. It's all going to work out one day. Stephen understood that. If you will, look down at verse 8. In verse 8 it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." He was not a preacher. He was not the main man. He was just one man in the church, and he was full of faith. And the Bible tells us that he did great works. We're all called as Christians to see God do great works through us. It doesn't matter if you just sing. It doesn't matter if you preach. It doesn't matter if you're playing piano. But in this church, as members of this church, we're all called to see God do great works through us. Stephen understood that. See, he didn't have anything holding him back. His money, not having money or having money, didn't matter. Having a nice home or a nice car, or of course they didn't have cars, but whatever it meant, it didn't matter. To him, he said, "You know what? I'm gonna just surrender myself, and I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. I'm gonna give all of myself." There were no reserves, nothing holding him back. He didn't sit back and expect the preachers to do it all. He didn't expect the apostles to go and be the only ones to see God work through their lives. No, he decided, "I'm gonna let God work through me." And when he went right after the people, didn't he? He didn't hold back in his message. He went right to them. And you know what? It got hard for him because when he stood before that council, if you read the story, you'll find he's brought before the council, and the pressure became very hard. And it could have been very easy for him to say, "You know what? I made a mistake. I probably shouldn't have said these things. I probably shouldn't have done these things. I'm sorry. I'm just going to go away right now." Can I tell you today, there are so many Christians who are retreating. When things get hard, they quit. When the people stop coming, they change their music style or they change the Bible that they use. Because that's the easy way. I've had people time and time again come to me, "Pastor Ginger, if we can just change the music a little bit, use a little bit of CCM, I tell you what, we'll fill up the building." Yeah. So what if it gets hard? And you know what? I'm not just talking about going in the ministry here. As I said, the Christian life, we're called to suffer. I don't know what you're going through in life. But whatever it is, don't retreat. Because I promise you, one day you're going to get through that and you're going to go back and you're going to not have a regret. You're going to be thanking God for what He brought you through. Again, I don't know most of you. I don't know your lives. But Stephen, he decided for him there was no retreat. He wasn't going to turn back. Didn't matter. If you will, look at Acts 7, verse 51. Acts 7, verse 51. Notice how he approached these men who were hard-hearted. He didn't go and say, "Oh, hi. Jesus loves you. Come with me. Let me give you a hug." No. What does it say here in verse 51? "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." Now, I'm not saying you should be rude when you tell people about Christ. You should go to them with a smile. But as Jude tells us, and as of some having compassion, but the other verse, if you read that next verse, "And some saved with fire," the Bible says. He went right after them. Right for their throats. Some people have to know that the reality of hell is there. We have to tell them. And it's not an easy thing. I'm not confrontational. I know you don't believe it. I'm very shy. Okay? I know I seem like a big mouth, but I'm really shy. And it's not that we should be mean. We need to love people. But sometimes we have to be bold in our message. It's not the easy way, though. Most churches, they don't want to do that. The Sanhedrin, because of this, they were offended by Stephen's preaching. And so what do? They want to kill this man. They want to destroy his life. And we see that it didn't matter to Stephen. He wasn't going to retreat. He was going to stand firm and hold his ground. Look at the end of the chapter here in verses 57 through 60. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen didn't concern himself with the outcome. He was willing to die. He was willing to die to do the right thing. Now, most of us, we live pretty comfortably. I'll be honest with you, South Korea is a very easy place to live. If you go a little bit north, it may get a little harder for you. I have friends who go into North Korea. We live easy lives sometimes. And I think we forget the reality of eternity. Are you willing to give it all? The mic is not on. Really? Yeah, that's what that red button is. Am I not loud enough? Let me try it again. Can't hear me? Oh, come on. I'll start all over. Okay, is it good now? Can you hear me now? Good? Sorry. So yeah, I'm not very smart. Anyway, Stephen didn't concern himself with the outcome. As a matter of fact, when he faced death, he was down and he was looking to heaven. And he wasn't mad at the people. He said, Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. Can I tell you today, not only did Stephen not have any reserves holding him back, but he didn't retreat either when it came to be tough. And now, he's walking on the streets of gold and he has no regrets. And when you hold your ground and you stand up for Christ, it may get tough, but there will be no regret in heaven. What about you today? Are you willing to give your children up? You say, I'll let him be a faithful bus captain here in Anchorage. Amen. But will you say, God, whatever you want with them? It may mean they go to China and you don't get to see your grandchildren very often. Are you willing? Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything hold your family back. When things get tough, don't retreat when life seems impossible. And I promise you, you'll see God do miracles and you won't have any regrets. If you will, look over at Daniel chapter 1. And Brother Mitch talked about these guys this morning. Daniel chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Here we have the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And with these young men, there were no reserves, nothing they were depending on in life other than God. Daniel 1, 5 through 7. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah
of Abednego.
These three men, they had decided that they were going to stand alongside Daniel, and they weren't going to rely on what the king was going to give them. Yeah, a lot of us today, we rely on the king's portion, don't we? Our faith rests in our paycheck, or in our health, or in our friends. But these men, there was nothing holding them back. They understood Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I think there's something that I think we failed to point out when we talk about these three Hebrew children. There were other Hebrews there that day. Yeah, and what were they doing? They were bowing down, friend. They were bowing down to that false god. How many Christians today are bowing down? I'll be honest with you. When there's no money, I start thinking about it. And, oh, well, God will take care of it, but it's not always easy. When I, 2015, I ended up in the hospital, and they found a tumor in my stomach and some other things in my body, and they weren't cancerous, but you start to think about life a little bit. These men, they didn't care about the king's portions. There was nothing that they were relying on other than God. Christians, we must, and I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, but we must make it a purposeful thing to rely solely on God. I'll be honest with you, being in a foreign country, it's not an easy thing. Your pastor could tell you about it, others who've gone. And sometimes all you have is God. You have to rely on Him. Because these three men stood, we know the story. They faced the fiery furnace. Now, I'll be honest with you, I like heat. Okay, I do. Sorry. I mean, praise God for you folks that love Anchorage. I'm glad you're here. Okay. But I like heat. Oh, by the way, Let me get sidetracked here. I forgot to tell you a story. Some of you may have wondered why my wife was here before I was. Okay? And it's a very simple thing. She actually went to Hawaii first and then came here. Ooh, yeah. And I just told you, I love heat, right? I love heat. I love sand. I love water. I love heat. I don't like water when it's ice. Okay? But anyway. So my wife went to Hawaii. So I would love to go to Hawaii. But there's something else that I really love. Okay? It's my dog. Yeah. So I took my dog to Chicago. And we flew to Chicago. And my wife went to Hawaii. Okay? So I like Hawaii. But I really love my dog. So if you were wondering, anybody, I'm just telling you, that's why. Now, we can get back to the message. Okay. All right. But anyway, these men, they were faced with a fiery furnace. And what happened? They could have retreated. When life was on the line, they could have retreated. But they just said, you know what? I'm not going to retreat. I don't care what Nebuchadnezzar thinks he can do to us. We're going to stand and we're going to go into that fiery furnace. If that's what it means, there is no retreat. You know what? We try to do things the other way, though, don't we? We like to handle it our way and not God's way. We end up getting ourselves in big messes. And so what happened? They ended up in the fiery furnace. But you know what? As Brother Mitch said this morning, I'm not going to re-preach it. When they got in there was no regret. They were walking with Jesus. And friends, when you say, you know what, God, I give you everything, there's nothing holding me back. And God, when things get tough, it doesn't matter, I'm going to trust in you. Can I tell you? You'll have no regrets because you'll be walking with Jesus. And that's what God wants from all of us today. Are you willing to do what it takes? Say, brother, I'm set in my life. I'm a faithful member of this church. Amen. But what if God wants more? What if God wants you to do something that you think is impossible? Are you willing to do it? If God came to you and said, I want you to give up your life today and I want you to go, what would you say? Would something hold you back? Family? Money? People? Fear? Uncertainty? The reality is, there are people today. I met a guy today out soul winning. His name was Jay. He's from China. And we happened to go to his door. And he said, you know what? I'm glad you came by. I've been thinking a lot about this, about heaven and hell. He said, I'm not ready to make a commitment today, but I'm going to read this thing that you're giving me. And he said, I'm really going to think about it. There are Jays all over Anchorage. But there are Jays all over the world today. The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. In the city that I was in, there are about 3 million people in Korea. In that one city. Other cities, there are more. Some cities, smaller cities, have 300,000 people. And they're waiting for someone to come knock on their door. Just like Jay was waiting for someone to come knock on his door today. Are you willing to go? Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ held nothing back when he left glory. He held nothing back. He was the King of glory. But he left all of that so that he could come. And then when he came, he was born to die, as the song we sing says. And when he came, and we came to the cross, and when it came to his body being basically mutilated, and when things got tough for him, even in the garden as he wept, can I tell you, there was no retreat on Jesus' part. Why? He did that for you. For you. So that you could turn around and be that reasonable sacrifice, that acceptable sacrifice. It wasn't easy for Jesus to die. And you know what? I don't think, as I think about the story of Jesus, I don't think that the hardest part for him was the physical pain. If you would, look at Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I think there was something harder than the physical pain that he had to suffer. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand throne of God. For consider him that endured. Notice the word endured again. Such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Lord went to the cross and bore the sins, something that was foreign to him. He bore the sins of us all. But he didn't retreat. He did it. He stuck to it. And today I stand before you as a saved man on my way to heaven because my Lord did not retreat. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When a soul gets saved, I believe it's not just the angels rejoicing. I believe it's our Lord rejoicing. And he's rejoicing that a soul got saved. And can I tell you that there was no reservation, nothing keeping God in heaven. He came down, and then when it got tough, can I tell you, he did not retreat. And now, can I tell you, as each soul gets saved time and time again, there is no regret in our Lord's heart for doing it. If your heart's telling you and you're here, maybe you're here, you're not saved. Maybe someone thinks you're saved. Maybe everybody thinks you're saved. If you're here today without Christ, don't let anything hold you back. Make no reservation. Don't let money or pride keep you from getting saved.
If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now, don't retreat, don't run away from Christ. And I promise you, one day when you're walking in eternity, you will not regret it. If you're like that today, come and see someone and they'll show you how to be saved. I want to close with a story. It wasn't very long. See, that's kind of short. Amen, brother. Okay. You want me to keep going? You may have heard the story. You may know the name. The story I want to tell you about is a young man by the name of William Borden. In 1904, this young man named William Borden, he graduated from high school and he was a multi-millionaire. He was the heir to the Borden Dairy Company. It was based in Chicago, Illinois. He was a member of one of the greatest churches, I think, that's ever existed, Moody Bible Church. Of course, they've gone away a little bit, but quite a bit, actually. His pastor was R.A. Torrey. As a graduation present, his parents gave him a cruise around the world. And so on this cruise, he started to see things, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with him about missions. And his heart grew towards missions. And in one letter home to his mother on his cruise, he said, "Dear Mom, I think God is calling me to be a missionary." His last letter that he wrote his mom on that cruise, he wrote these words. He said, "I know God is calling me to be a missionary." To be honest with you, William was one of the most talented in the family, and he was the one that was supposed to take over the family business. His family didn't like his plan. When he returned home from his cruise, he enrolled in Yale, and then he would spend 4 years there, and then later go to 3 more years of seminary. But becoming a missionary was not in the family plan, as I said. In his last year of seminary, William gave away his entire wealth. He gave it all away. He opened up his Bible after he gave his wealth away. And he wrote in the leaf there, in the front leaf, and he wrote these two words: "No reserves." Nothing was going to keep him from going to the mission field. Not money, not family business, nothing. William began to pray about where God would have him to go and serve as a missionary, and God put China upon his heart to go and deal with the Muslims there in China. And he committed himself to go. And a couple of days before he was going to get on the ship to leave, his father became deathly ill. And his family came to him and said, "William, you can't go. You can't leave now. You've got to come run the family business." He said, I cannot. I'm committed. I'm committed now. There is no turning back." And he opened up his Bible shortly after that. And he wrote 2 more words underneath "no reserves." He wrote, "No retreat." He got on the ship. And he was sailing to China. And as they were sailing, they made a stop in Egypt. And there he got cerebral meningitis. And he died within 3 weeks. 7 years of training. A promising future. And yet William never made it to the mission field. It would seem like a total waste of life. And I'm sure there were those who thought this was the case. But later, when they were returning William's belongings, they found his Bible. And shortly before he died, William had written 2 more words. "No regret." He never made it, but he had no regret. He gave it all away. There was no reserves. Nothing but God to care for him. When he faced his father's death and the pressure from his family, and then he was tempted to stay, he said, "There's no retreating." And even though he never made it to the mission field, he was obedient to God. And today, He's in heaven with our Savior. And he has no regrets. What about you? I hope you end your life with no regrets. I hope that you can say one day when you stand before God, God, there was nothing that held me back. I gave you everything. And God, when things got tough, I determined that I wasn't going to retreat no matter how hard things got. And God, today, I have no regrets. I hope you can say that when you stand before our Lord one day. Again, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a man of great faith. I haven't done anything great. But I determined a few years ago, no matter what, I'm not going to give up. Nothing's going to hold me back. I want to keep going so that one day I can stand before God and have no regrets. And I hope you can say the same. If you would, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. I thank you for this wonderful church. And Lord, just the sentimental aspect that it has for my family. God, for their love over the years. And I thank you that they can share a part in people going to heaven. And Father, I pray that you would just deal with some hearts tonight, that they would surrender fully to you. They would give up everything. And God, that when things get tough, if someone's going through difficulty right now, they wouldn't retreat. They wouldn't give up on you, Lord. And Lord, that one day, as they stand before you, they will have no regrets. Thank you for what the love you've shown us. Thank you for being such a good God. And I pray that you continue to work in the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name.